Good afternoon and good morning. Welcome back to Auto Nerd. My name is Andrew Sardone, and I'll be your host for today's session. All right, so one of the things that seems to be coming up an awful lot in my trainings as of late is positivity. And with positivity comes a lot of really interesting items. And one of those is the ability to have somebody stick around and want to participate in dealing with you in an effort to accomplish their own goal of buying a car, buying a product. Now, as you know, with Auto Nerd, my main focus is trying to deliver the tools, the realistic tools, that will improve the sales consultant's ability or a dealership or an owner's ability to move more metal in a way that actually makes sense, that also doesn't offend or hurt the customer in any way without going ahead and hosing the customer either. Now, with that little bit of information, I commit to the fact that it comes down to honesty, when it comes down to being a consultant that has the ability to have people return over and over. So I'm not talking about the quick deal, the ability to convince the customer and pull on their emotional heartstrings to get them to say, oh yes, I will absolutely take that vehicle at whatever price because I feel bad for you. I never teach that stuff purely because I just don't believe in it, right? But one of the things that I do believe in is the fact that people do business with people they know, like, and trust. It's a golden rule of sales. And you'll hear me say this over and over and over again. But positivity and negativity are two areas of focus that the customer can very much lean into. So, for example, if we're having a rough day, if the customer is also, let's say, having a rough time as well, being fairly nervous being in the dealership. But if we've gone through, let's say, four or five customers and we're on a downsliding month, meaning that last month was super awesome, we were doing really good, making a lot of money, this month is just total crash into the floor, and we're just like skimming along our draw. We've all been there. We've all felt this. It's a completely emotional thing. Trust me, the customer never changes. And I'll have a whole podcast just on this whole little behavior as far as how we view the customer. But when we are feeling negative, the customer picks up on this. Actually, humans in general are great emotional antennas. So if I have somebody sitting down in front of me and I could see that they are visibly upset, well, we can go ahead and ask them pretty quickly, you know, what's wrong? How can I help you, right? Also, if we see that somebody's fairly happy, all of a sudden we become a little bit happier as well, right? Happiness is contagious, and so is negativity. Actually, every single emotion that we have is contagious by the person that we are sitting close to as soon as they start to pick up on it. So if, again, we're having a bad day, more than likely, the customer isn't going to jive with us. They're not going to buy a car. Now, if we look at the car buying process, we'll find that it's almost wholly based on emotion, right? Take a look at the trades that you bring on in. An example that I use an awful lot, and you'll probably hear it a couple times if you follow me. And by the way, if you haven't subscribed to the podcast yet, go ahead, click the subscribe button. It takes like 2 seconds, and you'll get notified of when I publish new stuff. But when we look at the emotional side of it, right? The positivity side of it, and why people end up going out and buying things. You know, think about it like this. Do you need that 75-inch television? Do you need that new Xbox? Do you need the new PlayStation? Do you need the latest and greatest, like, Apple Watch? Do you need the latest and greatest anything to get through life? And the answer is pretty straightforward. No, right? You don't need to drive that high-end luxury car. You don't, could you get away with, let's say, like, you know, a super basic, tiny little Econo box? You could. You absolutely could. But is the image that you want to display? Probably not. So when you look at the reasons why people come in, so back to the trades. If you look at the trades that are in your back 40, and as you're taking a look at these things, ask yourself a question. Hey, if I took, let's say, $3,000 and I pumped it into any of those cars, even that old 1980s Econo box back there, will it drive for, let's say, another 5 years? The answer is more than likely yes. And so the thing is that people rarely will trade in a vehicle that is on its last breath. It just doesn't happen, right? And if it does happen, usually it's because the customer is just one of those dedicated people. They drove it right to the end of their life. But most people will go ahead and be 3 to 5 years in and start to think to themselves, you know what, I got another 2 years left on this loan. I think I'm ahead of it. I'll go ahead and trade it in. Lo and behold, they come in and we see how upside down they are. But story for another day. That when people look for vehicles, usually what happens is that a seed is planted at some point. It could be when they're driving on the road. It could be that they thought of a need, and I'm using air quotes on this, to need another vehicle. But with these, the average person will justify why they need something through emotional means, meaning that the vast majority of their needs are attached to a very strong emotion. Now, some people call these hot buttons. I absolutely despise that term. And the reason I despise that term is most of us sales consultants stop there. Most of us managers will teach, go ahead, figure out the customer's hot buttons and report back, right? Well, hot buttons are built off of something. They have bedrock, and they have an incredibly powerful bedrock as well. And that bedrock drives down into an emotional attachment that the individual has to give the emotion, to give the individual permission to spend that amount of money, to go ahead and buy that car, to go ahead and accomplish anything in their life, right? But we as humans just simply go ahead and try to be happy. And we grant this ability through a lot of different things, right? If you take a look at the United States, we rack up credit card debt. And I know most of that credit card debt that we racked up isn't because we needed to eat or we needed to do something else. Usually it comes down to the fact that we wanted to do something that puts a smile on your face and we're totally cool going ahead and paying the price later on with high interest rates and so on and so forth. So back to the moral of the story. Customer comes in, they sit down in front of you. If you are positive, if you are having fun, and this is one of those things that when I see sales trainers that are fairly new in the business, they usually don't look into this. When I see sales trainers that have actually never been in the business, they usually don't entirely understand why I stay away from things like, you know, don't dig into the numbers right off the bat, right? When it comes to needs assessment, don't ask the customer specifically what they want right off the bat, right? We need to go ahead and start to get the customer to understand that this conversation that we're going to have during needs assessment is going to be positive. It's going to be fun. You're going to enjoy it and get them to feel that. Now, obviously, don't tell them, you will enjoy this. You will have fun. That obviously won't work. But when it comes down to the end of the day, we need to allow the customer to have the ability to understand that we are in this game for them. If we take the cart and put it in front of the horse and tell the horse to push, its neck is going to break, right? Our process is built like it's built for a particular reason. And when you look at the sales process from the perspective of relationship building being the number one thing that we have to do, there's a reason that needs assessment, or formally called, which has fallen out of favor, counsel and qualify, is in the position of where it is. We're supposed to take the time during that area to learn what makes that customer emotionally motivated to buy this particular car. Now, I know in my first podcast, I talked about emotional sales, but emotional sales is, again, what drives us. Now, as I mentioned a minute ago, we hunt to be happy. And we also have people that walk this earth that hunt to be upset, right? But when it comes to hunting to be happy, we will move the earth to make this happen. So when a customer comes in and they sit down in front of you and you ask them, hey, what do you want in the car? They're going to tell you things like, well, you know, I need air-cooled seats. I need a heated steering wheel. I need chrome wheels. I need a white leather interior. And, you know, when you go ahead and you start to look at a lot of this stuff, and as managers, if we look at our sales consultants and say, hey, what do they need? Well, this is the list of all the things they need. That's great. Listen, buddy, I'm glad you got that information, because that is absolutely going to help you go in the right direction of selecting a vehicle that's going to work for the customer. Notice what I said there, selecting a vehicle that's going to work for the customer, not the customer selecting a vehicle for themselves. I call this pumpkin patching, and I'll get to that story in a sec. But the thing is that baked into every single one of those desires, right, those needs, is this burning desire that is directly attached to the customer's emotion that deals with happiness. So if I can figure out you want this particular thing on the car, right? I'm going to use some low-hanging fruit stuff because it's just easy for us to understand, or at least talk about. So if I have a customer sitting in front of me and I say, hey, so why do you want that particular SUV? Well, you know, I'm needing three rows. Okay, cool. You know, three rows, check. We got that in ACES. Why is it that you need three rows? Well, I have kids. I have two big dogs. Okay, cool. Hey, a couple little things. What do you want out of your car? I mean, you have these obvious needs, right? You have your kids, right? You have your dog. We'll refer back to those in conversation in a second. But what do you want, right? Treat yourself. Take your pick. And so they give you a lot of these items that they want on the vehicle, right? That suits their needs, that suits their little emotional happiness bubble while they're driving. Because we spend a lot of time in the United States in our vehicles. Now, for any of you that might be listening in any of the other markets around the world, we in the United States, we had this grand idea of let's make cities hundreds of miles apart. And driving 4 hours out here is a drop in the bucket for some of us. But with this whole idea of drilling down to what that hot button, and again, using air quotes here because I hate the term hot button, because we just stopped there, right? Found their hot button. Stop, right? Show them performance, show them safety. They might not actually be that kind of person. So we have to drill down, ask the questions. And the big one that I have always loved to teach and then also use if I'm selling is why, right? It's a question that most customers aren't used to hearing. And it's a question that also makes the customer justify to themselves exactly why they need this. So you're going to get an answer that is going to be more accurate. You're going to get an answer that's going to be more honest because all customers as of late have been taught how to buy cars from the blogosphere out there. And it's also a question that is going to get the customer talking, right? It's about as open as it can possibly be. So you're here to take a look at our SUV. Why? Okay, good. You have all those things. You have all those desires on your vehicles. Why? Obviously, you don't want to continue to ask why the whole time, but this will go ahead and crack open an area of conversation where the customer now seems to understand what's going on, is that we are in it for them. Now, when I go out and I do secret shopping, what I find is that a lot of the individuals that I bump into will simply go ahead and say, hey, what do you want to see? And I pull into the dealership, they tell me what I want to see, and then they go ahead and show it to me. Now, I don't doubt at all that you are going to hear this story from me a couple times over, and I've used this story many, many, many times. But if you try to shortcut the sales process and you take a child, a five-year-old child, and you unleash that child on a pumpkin patch, you will go ahead and see a trait that is baked into every single human being that is at least in the United States. And this trait is kind of, when we weigh it into car sales, it's something that when we say, hey, offer up the customer, you know, a great experience, offer up the customer some fun. As sales consultants or even managers, we go ahead and we take the path of least resistance and the customer's like, hey, I want to see this particular vehicle. We walk them right on over that particular vehicle. We then show them that particular vehicle. And ultimately, in the end, they pick the most expensive one because we're trying to keep the experience nice and high. Well, this does make sense from a raising the experience perspective, but all information gathering that goes towards the whole non-existent close, meaning that the customer desires to buy that specific vehicle from you because you're doing everything right. All of that information is lost because that can only be gained when you're having a one-on-one conversation, actually looking at each other. Now, again, you don't believe me, give it a try. Right? Give it a try at least, get this, 20 times. Give it a try at least 20 times because you're going to get better at it as you sit there and you'll see exactly what I'm saying, is that the most powerful place to make your money is in the beginning of the deal, in needs assessment, at your desk. So you take the five-year-old, you release him a pumpkin patch. Then the five-year-old runs on out and you tell him, go find whatever one that you want, buddy. And so you look out there and your five-year-old's looking at you and they're like, I found one, Dad. And so you run on over there and, hey, man, dude, that thing is as big as you. Holy cow. How are you going to get that to register? Can you carry it for me? I didn't sign up for this today. Okay, yep, sure. So you go ahead, you pick up this massive pumpkin and you take it over the cash register. That is the sales consultant going ahead and taking the most expensive product that the customer wants to see on over to the F&I. So F&I director receives it. F&I director then goes ahead and writes the customer up and gets them going down the road. And then you go ahead and you look at the kid once you're at the register. And you say, all right, buddy, it's going to be like $20 for this massive thing. This is as massive as you. So give me your money. And the kid's like, dude, I'm five. You know that? I don't got a job. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I realize that now. So the error of my ways. And so you go ahead and you pay for this thing. We call that a cosigner that also had to come up with a down payment. We then take that pumpkin back to the house. right? We do our delivery. We look at the kid and we go, all right, man, here's the deal. You are 5 years old. I do not touch or do not trust you with any of my knives in the house. Stay out of the garage. And so here's the deal. Here's a Sharpie. And so go ahead, draw your face on the pumpkin. I'm going to doctor this thing up for you. So he goes ahead, he draws his face in the pumpkin. There is a moral to the story. And then you go ahead, you carve it out. You put it on the front stoop. You put in a candle. You look at the kid and go, buddy, congratulations. Happy Halloween. Good job. You did a great job on this. Awesome. Look at that. It all to make the experience of the child better. Now, this behavior, though, from both perspectives, is baked into us when we grow up, right? The path of least resistance, unleashing the kid just on the pumpkin patch without any sort of rules or guidelines, right? So this is one of those times that I always suggest, don't ask the customer dumb questions during needs assessment. If you ask the customer what they want to pay, they will tell you what they want to pay. I mean, it's probably one of the stupidest things that we can ask somebody. And the reason that I say this is a really dumb question is because it causes the customer to defend their very low answer at the end when you present the price. So if you go ahead and ask the customer, hey, what do you want to pay? And they're like, well, you know, I'd like to be around $250 to $400 a month. Okay. Leasing? Is that an option? Oh, I buy all my cars. Yeah, I see you. You've been driving that one that just pulled in on the lot and you've had it for about 3 years. How upside down are you? What are you talking about? Well, you see, what you've been doing is for the past 3 years, you've actually been leasing but paying like an exorbitantly huge amount of money, but you haven't had to worry about the miles. So congratulations there, but your miles are like 12,000 miles on this thing in 3 years. So what are you doing, bro? So the thing is that when it comes to this, we can't hit the customer all the time directly between the eyes quite like that. It comes off as harsh, brash. I mean, you throw a name on it. It's not cool. But we do need to educate them in some way, and we need to figure out the pricing. But we also need to build trust and rapport very quickly. And by going out and telling a sales consultant, hey, go build trust, go rapport, a lot of people have no idea how to actually go ahead and do that. So, and I'm going to give you one big tenet that I lived and died by when I was in sales, and I still use it today when I'm dealing with people on the regular. But when we start talking price with customer, this is about educating the customer, right? The customer already knows what the price is, but a lot of the times when they've gone to, let's say, two dealerships, and then they stumble into yours, and they've talked to two individuals that they didn't necessarily drive with in the first place, and now they're going ahead and they're talking to you. Because of the behavior that we typically see from your average sales consultant, meaning that so many dealers will simply go ahead and put people on the floor that genuinely just don't care. If you're one of those people, let me tell you something real quick. You have the ability in this business to make a lot of money. A lot of coin. And this is a business that is incredibly unforgiving. The amount of energy that you put into it, it pays you back. It's incredible like that, right? It is very, I guess, altruistic in that sense, right? It pays for your time very quickly. But on the other end of that, if you don't put in the effort, it doesn't pay you at all. If you put in effort that is you centric, meaning that you are looking at your paycheck the whole time, well, sad to say, you're probably going to fail most of the time. And at least you're definitely losing, leaving money on the table. So just keep that in mind, is that when we look at things like surveys, the dealerships that have surveys that from customers that are incredibly positive, take a look and compare them to the negative surveys. You're going to find that per copy, the customers with positive surveys have went ahead and paid more money for the car. Why is that? Well, the reason is it comes down to one simple fact. When people are happy, people are motivated. When people are happy, people spend money, right? And when people are motivated through the means of solving a problem and having a good sales presentation on how this thing is going to improve your life and the benefits that will go ahead and make you realize that this thing is going to enable positive change in your life, those sales consultants don't have customers that say no. They might have a customer that will go ahead and say, hey, you know what? This thing's like $100 a month too much. Can you work with me on that? Cool. You know what? We can work with that, right? But those customers that sit down in front of you that say, well, you know, we're like $400 away on payment. Well, you didn't do your job in the beginning. You see, when a customer comes in and tells you that they want a very low payment, but they leave with a very high payment, you did something well. When they leave with a very high payment with a smile on their face, Because you tapped into the fact that they gave you 5-7 particular reasons why they wanted to buy this vehicle. You looked into those reasons, just like those used cars that are being traded in, right? You looked into those reasons and realized that none of those things that you need on the car, right? Again, air quotes again. None of those things that you need on the car are actually needs at all. Do you need an extra seat because you're having a kid coming? Sure, right? Do you need more space because you just acquired a really big dog? Sure. But when you go ahead and take a look at why people want certain things in the car, right? More USB ports, more cup holders, a bigger mirror, right? Or let's say, you know, the frivolous features like all the cameras on the vehicles and, you know, this crazy radar that's now coming on board that makes cars practically drive itself. We haven't needed these things, or at least there hasn't been an established need for these. And we justify it through means of safety now, right, when people are talking about these items. But people still have their heads on the swivel. People still have their foot that controls the throttle. So why do you need these? Well, right now with all these things, they're pretty much wants and they're desires. Upsell those, right? Concentrate when you're giving your walk around on these vehicles, concentrate on just those 5 to 7 things. Nobody counts all the bearings, right? Nobody goes ahead and, for example, if I'm buying a new vehicle, I don't have children, my wife and I don't. And in that particular scenario, if I go to a dealership, every car comes with a latch system, right? Lower anchors and tethers for children. I bought the car. Yes, I bought the latch system, but I'm never going to use it. Don't show it to me on the vehicle. Actually, if you show it to me on the vehicle, my wife and I will actually be offended and I'm going to leave your store because it doesn't apply. But if you take the 5 to 7 reasons that are very strongly emotionally attached to that customer and you just sell those, well, you got a customer now that's about to buy a vehicle because you flat out painted the picture to them that this car is going to change their life. Give it a shot. Seriously. The walkarounds that I see that happen where a sales consultant will give, let's say, you know, all 500 points around the vehicle, it overloads the human brain. The brain can't remember every single one of those features as you're going around the car. It just doesn't have the capacity to pull that off. But what it can remember are the things that it's genuinely interested in. So for myself, if you start going over safety bits on the car, I'm probably not going to care, right? Because safety is just not something that I hunt for on vehicles. If you start going over performance and techie items, well, my ears are going to start to perk up. If you start to dig down and figure out why I am a techie person, why I am a performance person, oh, my ears are going to shoot way up when you have the exact item on the vehicle that I actually care about, right? If you start showing me random things around the car because you shortcutted the process, right? You walked me right to a vehicle on your lot, and you said, hey, you want this particular car, right? Oh, of course I do. Okay, cool. Give me a walk around. All right. So you start giving me a walk around on it and you show me everything. I'm going to burn out. My brain's going to be fried. And I'm going to look at you and I'm going to say the thing that we absolutely hate hearing from customers. Buddy, I got to think about it. That's a lot. You just gave me a lot. This thing has Apple CarPlay. It has Android Auto. It has a screen inside of it that looks like it's out of a jet fighter. You said something about a heads-up display. I can't even imagine how cool that thing is. You said it had you know LiDAR and 15 points of the vehicle. I'm a little confused. And I heard this from one salesman one day, and I absolutely love this one. You told me it had this like 360 camera thing where the antenna pops off and a drone pops out of it. I'm so lost, man. So the thing is that when we overload somebody's brain, they have to take that time to think, right? It's not, we didn't give them permission to buy the car. We gave them permission to go home and think about it. So take that time in the beginning, 20 minutes, half an hour, 40 minutes. I know you guys in the luxuries are like, dude, take an hour, right? Take as much time as you need. So yes, take as much time as you need in the beginning. Establish a strong relationship with that customer because, again, baked into every human being is the ability to trust the individual that we are speaking to as long as they give us permission to speak about ourselves in a positive manner. And if we can get the customer to speak in a positive manner about themselves, they will simply go ahead and give us the exact roadmap on how to sell them a car. They'll give us the exact pieces of their life that matter, the pieces that have weight behind them. So when we go ahead and show them the vehicle, this particular presentation, this walk around, this test drive, right? This particular presentation will go ahead and be the strongest one that they're going to hear from anybody. And being the strongest one, if it's attached to those emotional heartstrings, now that individual is going to know that you care more than the next person. Because when a customer goes into a dealership and they're trained to know that, well, as car sales consultants or as dealerships, they're only there to hose the individual. And they're seeing all these videos online about how to buy a vehicle, and none of them are respectful to us in any way whatsoever. They show the customer how to have the worst buying experience possible. And all we want to do is look at them and go, I just want to help you. That's all I want to do, right? So just let me help you. When this happens, right now you have a customer coming on in that has the highest closing ratio that they have ever had, because it takes guts now, and it's taken guts for a while, but more than ever, to walk into the front door of a dealership. Remember that, right? The person that you're talking to is expressing bravery when they walk through the store, meaning if I can get them to calm down, if I can get them to understand that, hey, I'm in it for you. If you don't buy a car, I don't eat. If I can get them to understand that, hey, when you come to my dealership, your family here, right? I deal with all these other chuckleheads in the building that I love just like my brothers and sisters all day long. And now that you're here with us, Mr. and Mrs. Customer, you are part of that family. And we're going to treat you exactly like that too. If you carry that mantra and you learn who that person is, and most importantly, you make it an enjoyable process, right? Another thing you'll hear me say an awful lot is, if you're not having fun, they're not having fun, right? If you're not having fun, they're not buying. Make it enjoyable. Make it fun and get out of your own head when times are tough. You're going to succeed. So, other little pro tips I'll leave you with here real quick. When you sit down with the customer for needs assessment and you start to ask them these why questions, take your keyboard, take your computer, shut off the monitor, turn off the keyboard, push it away. Pull out a pad, pull out a pen, start taking notes. If you want to get the customer to put their phone down and pay attention to you, because a lot of times when we're working with them, they might be working with somebody else on their phone or at another dealership, or they may very well just be kind of half paying attention. Hand them a pad of paper, hand them a pen, give them something else to do. And then you're going to notice all of a sudden we start having a conversation, because this is an important conversation for them. And it's a critical conversation for you to be able to relay the information to get them to understand that, hey, I got your best interest in mind. You just need to understand that. So why do you want that vehicle? Have some dialogue. And pretty quickly you'll find your customer is going to love you and they're going to follow you around. And as soon as you start to show them things, they're going to bond to you and that vehicle tighter than ever before. And then come negotiation. If you have taken the ability, the core definition of sales, to heighten the customer's emotional state to the point where they have no longer have the ability to say no, you will find a customer that will look at that payment and justify it for themselves instead of making you justify as a sales consultant and make you pay for their ability to drive that car down the road. We don't want to take profit out of our pockets. We want to be more prosperous. We want to be happier. We want the customer to be more prosperous. We want them to be happier. They will justify that price if they desire that vehicle enough, and we're obviously on the right product. So that's all for today. I hope you got something out of this. Just slow cooker the customers. Please go ahead, subscribe to the podcast. It does help me help you. It keeps me motivated to go ahead and keep making these things. Share it with a friend if you can, please, because that does as well. Little updates. Sorry where there was not a article for this one. I switched gears right at the last minute and no article this week. But when it comes down to it, thank you very much for listening on in. And next week, we're going to be jumping on into a little bit more of this conversation. I'm going to build this out a little bit more, and we're going to be dealing with a little bit more of a deep dive. All right. I'll talk to you later. Have a great one. Happy selling out there. And this is Andrew from AutoNerd signing off.